In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse, Ecclesiastes 11:6, tells us the importance of diligence. Today, I'll give you some ways you can be diligent with and take full advantage of your IRA. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so the first way you can be diligent about your IRA is to make a very basic decision: traditional versus Roth. Money contributed to a traditional IRA goes in pre-taxed, meaning you can deduct that amount from your adjusted gross income at tax time. Money going into a Roth IRA, of course, is after tax, meaning you can't deduct it. Later in life, when you withdraw those funds, you're taxed on your traditional IRA contributions and earnings, but your withdrawals from a Roth account are tax-free. And because of that, a lot of folks automatically assume that a Roth IRA is better. Well, don't make that assumption. The Roth is only the better option if you expect that your retirement income will actually be more than you're making now. And generally, that means the Roth is better for younger investors. It's better to pay the tax on those contributions now rather than later when they may be in a higher tax bracket. But at a certain stage in your working life, your expected retirement income will be less than you're making at that point. That makes the traditional IRA a better option for older investors who will pay taxes on their withdrawals later when they expect to be in a lower tax bracket. So when you're deciding between a traditional or Roth IRA, you have to ask, on the day I retire, am I likely to be making more or less than right now? Now, I realize that may be a difficult question to answer, especially for folks in the middle of their working years, but there's an easy solution. If you can't decide, do both. Ecclesiastes 11:2 even tells us of the need to diversify our holdings. It reads, "Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what disaster may happen on the earth." If you can't decide between a traditional or Roth IRA, open both and split the maximum contribution between the two. That way, you'll have a taxable and non-taxable income stream in retirement. Another great way to diversify. Another way to be diligent with your IRA is paying attention to when you make your contributions. The IRS allows you to make them all the way up to tax day, April 15th, and still have them apply to the prior tax year. But doing that means you'll lose up to 15 months when your contributions could be making compound earnings. Now, why would someone do that year after year? Well, for example, it might seem to make sense for folks who expect an annual bonus at the end of the year. They wait for it and then use it for IRA contributions after the first of the year, maybe even waiting until the April 15th deadline. Other folks might just procrastinate, again, waiting for the deadline before acting. Well, it's far better to make consistent contributions to your IRA all through the year, which again will give your holdings more time for compound earnings. If you're expecting a year-end bonus, adjust your budget so you can contribute that amount through the year instead of waiting. You can also be diligent about contributing the maximum allowed amount to your IRA. That's $6,000 a year or $7,000 if you're 50 or older. But did you know that some people can actually double that amount? IRA contributions must be made from earned income, but what if you have a non-working spouse? Well, you can open another IRA in the spouse's name and again contribute the maximum amount as long as you, the working spouse, make enough to equal the combined maximum of $12,000 or $14,000 if you're both over 50. And that could actually be a better option than maxing out your contributions to a company 401k if it's loaded with fees and has few investing options. Another way to be diligent with your IRA is to start investing early. The key there, let compound earnings work for you. Be diligent and systematic in your contributions to your IRA, either traditional or Roth, and start as early as possible. By the way, even students with earned income can start them at the youngest of ages. Don't miss that opportunity. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. biblical wisdom for your financial journey.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. There's such a dichotomy taking place right now for faith-sharing Christians. On the one hand, the attack on free speech and the free expression of our beliefs is having a huge impact on the testimony of the church. Out of fear of government reprisal and due to lack of faith, Christians have gone silent when their voices are needed the most. At the same time, there's mass desperation for people finding God in the midst of the chaos. Over 80% of the unchurched would like to believe there's a God and are looking for somebody to tell them about Him. That's almost everyone you can see when you're in a public place. Indeed, the fields are white for harvest. No matter where you are in this subject, you must come face to face with Proverbs 29:25 that tells us the fear of man lays a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe, and God tells us to proclaim His holy name at every opportunity. No excuses, my friend. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Hey, before we go back to the phones, let me remind you why we do this program each day. Why spend an hour a day talking about money? That's right. Growing your money is one of four things you can do with it. You can live on it. You can give. You can owe it. That's number three. And that's for debt or taxes. And then you can grow it. And when starting to save, it really is important to know when and how to do it, and perhaps a recommended sequence for saving money over time, because when this sequence gets out of order, well, it can often lead to financial confusion or struggle. So as you think about saving for the future, I would think in terms of five steps. Step one, you might consider this for someone who's in a struggling situation, is eliminate all high interest and short-term debt. These are typically your credit cards, payday loans, of course, other high interest types of debt. Step number two, if you move from struggling to what I'll call surviving, well, then you want to create an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months living expenses. This should be in an accessible interest-bearing account. This emergency fund becomes, in effect, your own bank, because if you tap into this for an emergency, it will eliminate you having to go further into debt or deplete other resources. But if you you tap it, replace it as soon as possible. Step number three, as you move from struggling to surviving to what I'll call stable, is where you save for major purchases. This is for the planned purchase of major items, such as cars, furniture, even the down payment on a home. Then to step four, what I'll call secure, diversify and accumulate to meet long-term needs. This could be the goal of financial independence, a college education, perhaps additional giving beyond the tithe, paying off a mortgage, or major lifestyle changes. And then step five, in a surplus situation, you would complete your long-term goals. Because if you think about it, live, give, owe, and grow. If you've capped your lifestyle, then there's no more living expense. If you are paid off of all of your debt, well, you don't have anything more there. If you are capping your growing, that is, you've set a financial finish line for both lifestyle and for your accumulation because you've answered the question, how much is enough? Well, that just leaves additional giving as really the only other opportunity. So think about your saving in terms of those priority uses of money. And as I said in that final step, be sure that you consider a financial finish line as a part of that. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Grand Rapids, Michigan. WGNB, Mary, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a question about the I-bonds. How do I go about, what are the steps I would go to purchase an I-bond or some I-bonds?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mary, and it really is simple. There's only one place to go because you can no longer buy the paper bonds. You'd have to buy the electronic I-bonds, and you do that with the Treasury, the U.S. Treasury, at their website, treasurydirect.gov, treasurydirect.gov. You'll see a link there to click on for the Series I bonds, which stand for inflation bonds. And when you get there, you'll see all the instructions to create an account, to transfer the funds in electronically, to purchase the electronic I bonds. For the benefit of our audience, these are inflation bonds backed by the U.S. government, issued by the U.S. Treasury. Got to hold them for a year. The rate will adjust every 6 months based on CPI. And if you cash them in with less than 5 years, but more than a year, you'll just give up as a penalty the prior 3 months worth of interest. But given the safety and the attractive return, these are a phenomenal investment. But short answer, Mary, treasurydirect.gov is all you need to know.
Okay. And one more question about that.
Yes, ma'am.
If I die before, well, if I die while I own them, can they be automatically given to our children?
Yes, you can establish that through what's called a transfer on death. So when you open the account, you will have several options as to how you want to handle that to ensure that it passes either outside of your estate or as a part of your will.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your answers.
Okay. You're very welcome, Mary. God bless you. To Pennsylvania, Brenda, thanks for calling today. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling about Social Security. I'm 64. My husband is 75. I have not taken it yet, and I'm getting conflicting advice from our estate planner and our financial planner. One
okay.
says take it, one says delay. So I thought, well, I listen to you every day. I'll call and find out what you have to say.
All right, Brenda. Well, I'm going to say it depends. So maybe you could say I'm somewhere right in the middle. You know, the best time to take Social Security really depends on your circumstances. I would say it's better to wait, though, as long as possible, because that will increase the amount of your monthly check by about 8% a year. If you take benefits at 62 instead of full retirement age, 66 or 67, it would be decreased by about 32%. Each year you wait after full retirement age, that benefit check will increase by 8%. Now, here's the key, and this is why a lot of folks will say, no, go ahead and start taking it. Obviously, if you delay, you're giving up that amount that you would have been collecting. And so the only way to make that up is through that higher benefit check. So here's the key. If you don't need the money right now, you have another means to provide for yourself, and you're in good health, then it generally makes sense to wait. And here's why. Every year you wait, you add that guaranteed 8%, and that's in addition to a what's called a COLA increase, the cost of living adjustment that everybody gets. So you'll get that higher amount of 8%. The question is, are you going to live long enough where the additional 8% a year is going to make up for the years that you didn't take it, and then you enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life? Well, only the Lord knows when you're going to go home to be with Him, so there is a bit of a risk there. And on average, it takes about 11 years and 7 months to break even if you wait to full retirement age, let's say, instead of taking it at 62, or if you wait until age 70 instead of taking it at 66 or 67. So if longevity is in your family, you're healthy, and again, the key is you don't need the money right now. I like the idea of you waiting, you know, by age roughly, 80, if not 78, you would likely have recouped everything you gave up while you were waiting to age 70, and then you enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
It does. Someone told me, and I don't know if it was false information, that you could use you that I could draw on my husband's Social Security until I'm full retirement age, and then increase it at that time. Is that wrong information?
No, it's not. The key would be he would have to have started taking his benefit. So once he starts taking his benefit, you're entitled to either yours on your own record or his up to 50% of his if you waited until full retirement age. And you can take the higher of the two. The key is, and this might be what they were getting at, if you take his because you're eligible to do so and you delay taking yours, you could always switch to yours down the road, at which point you would enjoy that higher amount that had continued accumulating. So I would check in with the SSA and make a virtual visit and have them go over the numbers with you. Let me issue a special invitation to you. If you've benefited from the principles and practical advice that we share every day on this program, maybe you've connected with a MoneyWise coach, or you use the MoneyWise app, or you read our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. Well, all of that is possible only because of your financial support. And I would just ask whether you would consider a gift. Just head to moneywise.org. You can give online, you can give over the phone, or you can give electronically there. Again, moneywise.org, and thanks in advance. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Are you honoring your pastor? I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Being a pastor can be difficult, often thankless, and continual 24/7. While we're to pray for them, showing appreciation is important not only for them, but ourselves as well. Join Pastor Gary Dahl as he talks with two other pastors on this week's program entitled, What is a Pastor? Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Hey, our team is taking a break today. That's right, we're not in the studio, so don't call in. But we have some great questions that we lined up in advance that we'll get back to in just a moment. By the way, you can post in our MoneyWise community if you would like to. You'll find it in the MoneyWise app. When you download the app in your app store, just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. When you create a free account, you can post away and you'll hear from others in our MoneyWise community. You'll also hear from our MoneyWise coaches as well. It's all there inside the MoneyWise app. You'll also find our community, the same one that appears in the app, is on our website as well. So if you'd rather get to it through a desktop, you can do that as well. Just head to moneywise.org, click on the button that simply says community. That's moneywise.org. Community is the button to push, and you will be right there. We'll look forward to hearing from you in the community. Back to the phones we go. Indiana Ginger, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. How does one pay tithe when money is in the stock market?
I love this question, Ginger, because you want to honor the Lord in your giving, and you're wondering how to do that with stock investments. That's great. Would this be stocks inside a retirement plan or stocks in what I will call a taxable account outside of retirement?
Both.
Okay, so let's tackle them separately. With stocks that are outside of a retirement plan, it's fairly easy to do because each year you are going to calculate for tax purposes the gains and losses that you have in the portfolio. So keep in mind, we only would give a tithe, a tenth, based on our increase. That's the principle that we take right out of Scripture. Well, your increase is only when you realize a gain of an investment. It has nothing to do with whether it's unrealized, meaning it's up or down any particular day or quarter. It's not until you sell it that you either realize with the stock either a gain or a loss. And when you file your tax returns each year, you have to calculate the total gains and you subtract the total losses, and you'll determine for that particular year whether you had a net gain or a net loss. And if you had a net gain, well, then you'd pay a capital gains tax on it. That would be the amount that would be considered your increase, not only for tax purposes, but for your giving as well, for a tithe. And so I would recommend you do that, unless you wanted to do it more frequently. I'd recommend you do that annually when you calculate your taxes. If you wanted to be able to give more frequently, and I would understand that, then you'd probably go through the same process on a quarterly basis, let's say. You could do it even monthly, where you'd look at the total realized gains and losses for the month, and your increase, if you had a total gain that was net positive, would be what you'd tithe on. But keep in mind, we typically buy investments and hold them for a long time. So it could be that several months or quarters or even years, you don't have any realized gains and losses. It would only be when you sell a particular investment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with the retirement account, it's a little bit different because you could go through the same process, but keep in mind, every time you take money out, it's a taxable event. So you've got a couple of approaches here. Some people just invest and let it grow, and on a tax-deferred compounded basis. And then as they take the money out in retirement, they either pay on the whole amount, just considering it all part of God's increase, or they would calculate the total amount of contributions, which would let them know how much is the gain and come up with essentially a percentage. And then as they take the money out in retirement as income, let's say 60% of what you're taking out is your original contributions, 40% is your gains, you might consider 40% of every dollar part of your increase, and you could tithe on that. That would be one way to go. It's a little more complicated when it comes to retirement, but at the end of the day, it's really about realized gains and losses inside the portfolio as opposed to market movement, which would be unrealized gains and losses prior to the sale. Do you follow all that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I'm so thankful that you want to honor God with your giving. I'm confident he will honor that, Ginger, and it's one of the great privileges we have as stewards of God's money to be able to take part of what he's entrusted to us, because it's all his, and redirect it into his activity so we can participate in where he's at work, whether that's through the local church or any number of other places. So hopefully that information was helpful to you. Thank you for calling today. Pembroke Pines, Florida, Marcia, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
And I thank you so much for taking my call. It's a pleasure to be on, and I'm so happy each day to be listening to you.
Well,
and
thank you.
I do have a little misunderstanding or not clear on how would it work now with the different yields, like yield to maturity, now that current yield has increased on a bond.
Yes. I mean, this can get a bit complicated, but essentially when you talk about yield to maturity for a bond, it's the total rate of return that will have been earned by a bond when it makes all the interest payments and repays the original principal. So oftentimes we're buying bonds in mutual funds or in a basket of investments, and then the price of the bond is moving up and down, and as it pays out, we get a portion of that, or all of that is paid pass through. But when we buy an individual bond, whether it's a U.S. Treasury bond or a corporate bond, and we hold that individual bond to maturity, the yield to maturity says if we hold it until it matures, at which point the original principal is paid back, the original principal plus all of the interest payments that will occur during the life of the bond, that essentially is the yield to maturity. And at the end of the day, it's what's called the IRR, the internal rate of return. So that's what you would be looking at, but that assumes that you're buying a bond and holding it to maturity and then getting paid back for that bond, which if that's the way you're going, that helps to offset a lot of the impact that we're seeing right now with interest rates rising, which is causing the bond prices to fall. You miss all of that if you hold it to maturity. So hopefully that gives you the information you're looking for, Marcia. Thank you for calling and for listening so faithfully. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, we consider eternity, that is, the 1,000-year millennium of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on earth, and the new heavens and the new earth. Are these your destinations? Learn about your eternal destiny as believers. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central, and Sunday afternoon at noon Central, on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're grateful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll talk to Bill in Ohio, Michael's in Iowa. But first, have you thought about tracking your spending? Perhaps it's something you're thinking more about these days with expenses up in light of inflation. If you're looking for a simple, easy way to stay on track of your, or on top of your budget, I should say, consider the MoneyWise app. It uses our simple digital envelope system. It allows you to track your spending, manage all of your accounts in one place with the ability to connect to over 11,000 institutions so you can automatically download your transactions. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. And in addition to the money management tools, you'll find our community where you can post questions and all of our great content. It's the MoneyWise app. Download it today in your app store. Again, search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. All right, let's head back to the phones to Hiram, Ohio, WCRF. Bill, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just applied for a debit card at my local bank, and I was wondering how safe are they?
Yeah, you know, I would say they're fairly safe in the sense that, you know, two safety mechanisms. Number one is it requires you to use a PIN number to purchase something. So that's your kind of first barrier, if you will. And then like credit cards, they also limit fraud liability. Now, unlike credit cards, they require you to report your lost or stolen card within two business days to limit your liability to $50. If you report after two business days, your liability goes up to $500. If your card number is stolen and not the card itself, you're not liable for any unauthorized charges as long as you report it within 60 days. Now, the only other potential risk is that with a credit card, if somebody spends fraudulently, there's no effect to you because you'd work it out with the credit card company. You'd never pay the bill. Obviously, if somebody gets access to your debit card, they could essentially drain your checking account. That's not only a hassle, but it could result if you have automatic payments, bill pay, recurring debits. It could cause some disruption in that, which would be somewhat of a hassle. It could even, you know, cost you some fees and that kind of thing while you're getting everything sorted out. You need to understand that going into it. But I would say as long as you keep the information secure, you keep your PIN number, you know, very cautiously use that in public, and then you make sure you report a lost card or fraudulent activity on a timely basis, then you're going to have the protections you need to ensure that, you don't come out of pocket if somebody were to compromise your account. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, sir, and I appreciate the information.
Okay. God bless you. We appreciate you checking in with us today. We did get an email from somebody, Mike, who emailed us recently. Let me tackle this quickly. He says, I'm near retirement, starting to consider hiring a financial advisor. Do I need a financial planner or a wealth manager or an investment counselor? There's so many options. And Mike, as you think about retirement, you really need both. You need the financial planner to help you plan for retirement. What assets do you have? How much income? What insurance, all of those things. And then you need a wealth manager to actually manage the retirement assets to protect it, but also to generate the income on a conservative basis. An investment counselor can often do both. That would be a combination of planner and wealth manager. So you really need both functions. The question is that one professional or two? In either case, a certified Kingdom advisor who covers those areas could help you. You'll find a CKA in your area when you head to our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA. Back to the phones we go to Michigan. Jacob, thank you for calling and for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Rob, for taking my call. I have student loans, and I'm also on Social Security disability. I was offered a total and permanent discharge of my loans, and I'm just wondering if that's a good idea.
If you receive a student loan forgiveness disability discharge, your credit report should state that you no longer owe the debt. However, your credit report could list your federal loans during the 3-year monitoring period to see if the person is able to work. So you may see a notation that says assigned to government before the mention eventually falls off. So the debt discharge could also change your credit score because it'll affect your credit mix and the amounts owed, which are two of the 5 credit scoring categories. Bottom line, though, Jacob, it's a great idea, I think, to take the discharge. If you'll have trouble earning enough to pay off the loans in the future, that's a good thing. And any impact, I think, on your credit score will be modest. And having this out from under you, if you're entitled to it, is, I think, a great opportunity for you.
Okay, I just wasn't sure how it would affect things. I didn't know how far the credit score would go down or what would happen with that. One other question, the 3-year monitoring period, that still is in effect?
I'm not aware that it's not in effect any longer. There's obviously been a lot of changes to the student loan programs as a result of COVID and the CARES Act, so you may want to dig into that. But that's my understanding, is that 3-year monitoring period to see if you're able to work is still in effect and would be a part of the equation here.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
All right, Jacob, God bless you, my friend. To Colorado we go. Carol, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello, I'm calling about my parents' money, actually. My parents are 96 and 91, and we just got them into assisted living a couple months ago. And we do have some monies from an LTC and that type of thing to pay for it, but it doesn't pay for all of it, so I liquidated one investment. My question is, they have 3 investments left. They're not a whole lot, but I'm watching them go down, and the house hasn't sold. So should I just pull all 3 of those and just get them out of there? Because, I mean, they really have, 5 or less years to live probably. So I'm just not sure. Or just leave them in there and pull them as I need them.
Yeah, the challenge is just the declines you've already experienced. What's the value of the investments? And then what would be the proceeds of the home sale when that goes through?
Well, right now they're down to like $75,000 total for the investment. So it's not a lot, but it's a lot to us. And
sure.
The house, I don't know anymore. It's not selling. Hopefully $300,000.
Okay. And what are you needing to pull after the long-term care payments are coming in? What do you need to pull per month to cover their expenses?
About $3,000 right now. And I haven't started taking it from my mother's savings account. I'm trying to figure out their bills, but she'll have a little leftover each month to help put, maybe $1,000 towards it. So you're talking about $2,000 maybe.
Okay.
But I'm just worried about losing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are you in an all stock portfolio at this point?
No. 3 of them are IRAs, and we just looked it up oh, shoot, I forgot the name of them. No, they have bonds and non-government and government. They're kind of spread out. They're supposed to be slow-growing and slow-losing, but...
It hasn't necessarily worked out. I think given, you know, the modest amount that's needed on a monthly basis, we're guessing here, right? And you never want to make decisions in the short term because nobody knows where the market's going from here. And so given that you only need a couple of thousand a month, I'd probably pull as little as you have to and probably stay the course. But at the end of the day, you're the steward, been entrusted with these decisions. And if you just don't have peace of mind, you could certainly liquidate it. But given the modest amount you need every month, I'd probably sit tight and look at making a change down the road. Carol, thanks for your call today. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate this. God bless you. We'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever felt alone? Maybe you were in a foreign country and didn't speak the language very well. Or you moved to a new neighborhood. You started going to a different school. It's an old cliche, but it's true. Sometimes you can be alone in a crowded room. Sometimes we all feel like we're far away from everyone else, and spiritually, all of us are far away from God. At least we would be if it weren't for Jesus. Remember what Peter said on the day of Pentecost? The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. No one is ever too far. Come to Jesus. He will never cast you out. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Let's head right back to the phones. Tampa, Florida is where we're going next. Mike, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, how are you today?
Doing great, thanks.
Thanks. So, I don't remember where I saw it, but it came up somewhere, probably social media or email. There's this product, and it's called Unlock. And apparently what they do is take the appraised value of your house or whatever they appraise the value of your house to be, less the debt on your property, and then they offer you X amount of dollars in cash, interest-free, no payments, not a HELOC, nothing like that. And the thing matures in 10 years. So you either have to buy them out or sell the house. And I guess it depends on where you're located. The cash is provided in exchange for a percentage of your home's future value. So in this case, living in Florida, it's 55% of the home's future value. So they're valuing the home at about $321,000. Equivalents around here are actually running closer to $4 right now. We owe $110,000. And they are offering $110,000. So I'm trying to figure out if this is one of those too good to be true, and I'm going to get hosed in the 10 years from now, or if it would be a prudent measure to take that money with the intent of which some of it would go to renovations, and then the rest would go into savings.
Yeah. Well, I'm vaguely familiar with it, Mike. I don't know enough to weigh in kind of one way or the other, other than the way you described it is also my understanding. It's a real estate investment company that essentially buys a percentage of your home's equity. The challenge is it seems like it's expensive because, you know, I think the typical exchange they say is, for instance, if they give you 10% of your current home's value for, they might do that for a 16% of the stake of the future value. And so you're giving that up. And I think they say that it can never go over 18% for a 10% stake. But, you know, that's quite a bit of a percentage that, you know, you're giving up in addition to any kind of fees associated with it as well. And, you know, if you need to sell your home at the end of the term and you can't afford to buy out, unlock, you know, that would be obviously a problem. So I think that's the real downside is just that you're giving up a larger share of the interest in the home than the cash you're actually receiving.
Right, right. I follow you. Okay. So it's kind of like Shark Tank, only worse.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd start by checking some reviews online and kind of see what you find there. But I think at the end of the day, it seems like it's pretty expensive in terms of what you're getting in exchange for what you're giving up, which is why they're in business. They need to make a profit, obviously. But I think there are better ways to raise cash if that's what you need to do.
Right. Okay. Yep. Very good, right, sir. That's what I had for you. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Mike. God bless you, bud. To Grand Rapids, Michigan, we go. WGNB. Mary, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
All right. It's a very general question. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
My car was totaled that I had had for 27 years. It was 30 years old. I was not in it, thank God. But so now I'm out looking for used cars that I would like to keep the rest of my life. I wanted that one till the rest of my life, but it didn't happen. So I'm looking for a good used car. And what are the principles I would be looking for? The other one that I had came through a family member who had a car dealership. I don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a couple of things, I think, are resources that you could be looking at. Number one would be a trusted independent mechanic can really be invaluable here, because if you are looking for a used car, you're going to want somebody to really do a pretty detailed inspection of the car. So you understand what you're getting. I mean, if you buy from someplace like CarMax, you know, a trusted brand like that, you know, they would do that and they really stand by their inspections on their used vehicles. But if you're just buying, you know, off the internet, which that has its own risks that we can talk about here in a second, you certainly need, or from just a third party, private party sale, you're definitely going to want to have it checked out by a trusted independent mechanic. If you don't already have one that you've used previously, perhaps check around at your local church. You're going to want to go to KBB.com. That stands for Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com or Edmunds.com to find out what a given make or model is selling for. And then if you find that car you like, get it checked out. You can also check what's called Carfax.com. That's Carfax.com. That will tell you if a vehicle has been in an accident. You'll just need to get the VIN number, the vehicle identification number, put it into Carfax, and that'll give you the information you need. But as long as you know you're not overpaying, and that's where KBB and Edmunds comes in, as long as you know that, you know, it's not been totaled or in a real bad wreck or, you know, been in a flood or something like that, that's where Carfax comes in, then you just want to make sure that it's checked out from an independent mechanic. Then it's just a function of the safety of the transaction, because if you're buying off of Craigslist or you're buying from a private party, you know, that you found on the internet, autotrader.com, you're going to want to meet in a safe location. You're going to want to take somebody with you. A lot of times the municipal county office, I know here in my county of Cobb County, they have a specific place that's well lit, that's under 24-hour, you know, surveillance right in front of the police station. And it's specifically for people, buyers and sellers, to come together to, you know, buy goods and, exchange goods. And a car sale would be a great example of that. So I think you'd want to certainly make sure you have somebody that's helping you with that and obviously is present when that transaction happens. So I think those are kind of the big ideas. One way to avoid that would be to go to one of the big brands like a CarMax. You know, that would be a great option. There are several others out there where you're essentially showing up at what would be like a dealership, but you know you're in a safe place. You know that there's no haggling. You've done your research. You know what a fair price is. You can trust their certification and their inspections. And, you know, you may pay a little bit more than if you do your homework and buy it privately, but you know, there's some benefits that come with that. The only challenge I would also throw out to you, Mary, is that, you know, right now, used cars are very high just because of the pandemic, what's going on with chip shortages and new car inventories, new car prices are up, and that's pushed used car prices up pretty significantly. So just kind of plan on that. I know you don't really have a choice because your car was totaled, but just, you know, be ready for the fact that you may be paying a little bit more than you expected. Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, and I have looked at a used car dealers, you know, when you go there, and they say that they've already done the inspection. So that kind of avoids that going on my own, because as a woman, I don't want to do that.
Sure. And I think and I completely concur with that. If you go to a private used car lot or something like that, I'd probably still get it checked out unless you're with one of the big brands that, you know, is going to stand by what they have promised. But I like the idea of you not trying to do this alone with a private sale. So if you need some further help, there's probably a number of folks at your church that are car people. So find them, seek them out. People that love cars love to help other people find cars. So you may want to check around at your church and see if somebody could be of assistance to you. But we appreciate your call today. God bless you. Hey, I mentioned I was going to share some ideas on how you can overcome the effects of inflation. You know, right now it is really challenging with the average American spending $460 more every month on basics like food, fuel, and utilities. First, don't panic. You can't control the economy, so take control of what you can control, and that is adjust your spending, add income if you can, put off major purchases, and avoid consumer debt. If monthly debt payments are high, talk to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Don't do a consolidation loan. Adjust your spending plan. It's time to take another look, and if you haven't had one, well, maybe this is the time to put a budget in place. You can check out the Money Wise app to help you at MoneyWise Biblical Finance when you search that in your app store. Also, if you have an emergency fund set aside, this might be time to dip into that. It should be a last resort, and I would commit to refunding your emergency account as soon as you possibly can. I would also say this, and this may sound counterintuitive, don't stop giving. You know, a generous attitude demonstrates that you recognize God's ownership of everything. Generosity is also about an opportunity to lean on God's provision. Besides, there are plenty of people out there who are worse off than you are, and so why not take this opportunity to help someone in need? And then I would finally just remind you that the Bible assures us that we can trust in the Lord. So that's my last and most important suggestion for navigating a tight financial time. Trust that God has a plan for you and your family. Go to the Lord with your concerns and needs. Invite Him into your financial life. And by all means, don't rob God of the opportunity of intervening by using the plastic. He will provide what you need if you put your faith and your trust and your hope in Him. Also visit our team at MoneyWise.org for more information. We'd love to help you with budgeting, saving, manage your money. If you have questions, jump into the MoneyWise community in the MoneyWise app or at MoneyWise.org and post your questions. We have members of the MoneyWise community answering those questions all the time at MoneyWise.org. And I know they'd love to weigh in on your situation. So much to do. And I realize it's a challenging time. Hey, let me also just mention quickly that we'd love to learn more about your situation. If you have a story to share about how MoneyWise has been a blessing to you, make sure you email us with that at info@MoneyWise.org. Well, we're going to have to end it there. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thank you to all the wonderful people who make this program possible, and thank you for being here as well. We'll look forward to having you back. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.